The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
To go to the moon in this decade and do the other
thing. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston. Broadcasting to 7 continents. Consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to the Tuesday Space Show. Great to be here, and thank you all for tuning in. Let's run through the announcements so we can spend our time with our guest. So for those of you who would like to call us, our toll-free number, please write this down, 1-866-687-7223. No call screeners. Let the phone ring. I'll answer it as soon as possible and bring you up on air as soon as possible. And I will hold you over a break. So if we're coming up on a break, don't let that stop you from using the toll-free line. And remember, as I say on each program for 2010, we're really focusing on getting all of you to use the toll-free telephone a lot more than email and chat. It is a talk show, not an email show, not a chat show. So we really do want to hear you and hear your voice on that toll-free line. That said, if you insist on doing email, it is drspace@thespaceshow.com, thespaceshow@gmail.com, and dmlivings@yahoo.com. And chat is on the AOL family of IM, ICQ, and CompuServe. The screen name is all the same for all three of those services, one word, lowercase, space, show, chat. In order for you to see it, you need to have it in your buddy list. So please ping it or put it in your buddy list again, one word, space, show, chat. Do remember, we're copyrighted and trademarked, but you have permission to download shows and copy them and share them and pass them around. Please don't do anything commercial and don't edit the shows and don't do any YouTube channels or anything like that. But if you have ideas, I want to hear from you because we're looking for creative ideas on how to distribute space shows to even a broader audience than we already do. We do podcasts. We thank Gigadial.net and Andrew Grummet for doing that for us. We're in iTunes. Search for my name or The Space Show, Podcast Alley, AstroSpaceNow.com, AstroSpaceNow.com in South America, YAstro.com, and a host of other places. The RSS URL is on our website and both of our newsletters if you would like to subscribe to our podcast. And if you have any questions, let me hear from you at drspace@thespaceshow.com. Our website, thespaceshow.com, does host our comprehensive newsletter. It goes up Sunday evening, California time. All of the details of the programs are there, the guest bios, and a future events section. It's where we change things and make announcements if that is necessary. So do check it from time to time to stay current. Everything we do is archived, going back to 2001. You can listen to any show you would like, or you can download those shows. We have a Space Show store on our website. It's called Space Show Gear. Please check it out. And then you'll see the Support the Space Show button. Remember, we're a 501c3 nonprofit with the One Giant Leap Foundation.org. And we appreciate your support and those of you who do support us. We couldn't be doing this program without your support. And we thank you in advance for those of you who will be supporting us in the near future. Please also remember you can comment, upload material, questions, all sorts of things about each show at our new blog, which is http://thespaceshowoutsidethebox.blogspot.com, and it will be in the archives when we archive this show. We do Twitter, MySpace, and Facebook to promote the programs. For Hold the Dates, there's an international symposium for personal and commercial spaceflight just around the corner in Las Cruces, New Mexico, October 20th through the 21st. Their website, ispcs.com. The Commercial and Government Responsive Access to Space Technology Exchange, CRAST, C-R-A-S-T-E, is October 25th through the 28th at Moffett Field, California. Their website, usasymposium.com/CRAST. And then the Space Studies Institute has their conference coming up, Space Manufacturing 14, Critical Technologies for Space Settlement. And this is at the NASA Ames Conference Center in Mountain View, California, over Halloween, October 30th through the 31st. Their website, http://ssi.org. Tomorrow we're doing a specially targeted and focused program from 7 to 8 p.m. California time on this conference. Our guest will be Dr. Lee Valentine. And then the Japan-U.S. Science and Technology and Space Applications Program Symposium is up for next month, November 14th through the 18th, and that is at the Fairmont Orchid Hotel, Kuala Coast, Island of Hawaii. Their website, http://justsap.org/2010. Remember that the Space Show is brought to you in part by the Secure World Foundation, and they promote cooperative solutions for space security. For more info, please visit their website, secureworldfoundation.org. Well, we are in the midst of World Space Week, which we are going to talk about tonight. Our guest is Dennis Stone, and he is the president of World Space Week and one of the co-founders. It's a nonprofit association that coordinates the global celebration of the United Nations declared World Space Week in some 60 different countries. Dennis Stone co-founded this program in 1981. In his time that he's not doing World Space Week, he's manager of program integration for NASA's Commercial Crew and Cargo Program in Houston. He leads efforts to support the emerging commercial space transportation industry, including development of markets for microgravity and more. And he's involved in the Commercial Orbital Transportation Services, COTS program. His full bio is already up on the newsletter, and it will be up when we archive this program. Time to start talking to Dennis Stone and not reading about him. Welcome back to the show, Dennis. How are you?
I'm great. Pleasure and honor to be on the Space Show, David.
The Space Show is a lot bigger than when you were on last year, and there may be people out there who don't know what World Space Week is, or that it's going on right now, or that it's even in their country. So how about an introduction to it?
Well, the United Nations declared World Space Week in late 1999, and so this is actually the 11th year. Last year, as we have, you know, all the data that came in, it was in 55 nations, over 700 events. From star party on the lawn of the White House to, you know, all over the world, students being inspired with the excitement of space, to public activities, planetariums, model rocket launches, all kinds of things. Very different every year, and a lot of variety, and a lot of really exciting, incredible grassroots events.
Is it still 60 countries? Has it grown?
Well, we never know till long after it's over. We don't put on World Space Week events. We just encourage others. I'm sure many of your listeners put on World Space Week events as well. And so we ask each participant to kind of report on what they're doing through our online calendar. And I just took a count right before we went on the air. We had events from 53 countries. 360 events have already been entered. So that number will go up. You know, we'll know later how.
How do people get to that calendar to find an event?
Yeah, just go to our website, www.worldspaceweek.org, and, you know, click on calendar, and they can browse and search by country and get more information.
Do you find that it's a combination of, like, national space programs, like NASA gets involved with it, or ESA, something like that, or is it strictly grassroots space enthusiast type of programs?
It's been more grassroots probably than the national, you know, large countries, you know, space agencies. But, for example, though, this year, you mentioned ESA. ESA's launched a space game. In fact, it's thespacegame.org, I believe. And they launched it specifically on the occasion of World Space Week. Last year, the head of NASA sent a World Space Week message to all NASA employees. So we're beginning to see more and more participation by the large space agencies.
And government things like China, India get involved in it too?
India is very, very big. They currently have like 39 or so events in the calendar. Very grassroots, but not as much in China.
Interesting. And I'm at the website. So all of these flags are representative of countries that are involved in World Space Week, right?
Well, yeah. Actually, those are indicative of where we have translations of kind of an introduction about World Space Week
in all those languages?
In the languages represented by the flags.
Wow. That is impressive. Interesting. Do you, and so this is the 11th one that has happened, right?
Right.
What about, does it get into the classroom for, I'm thinking of really the lower grades, what would it be, secondary schools in the United States? Does World Space Week or do organizations have school programs to go in and talk to students or to do something with them that is space-oriented to help them understand and appreciate space more?
Well, yeah, actually, they take generally two forms when we're talking formal programs in the schools. The first would be the kind you mentioned where an organization will actually deploy resources into schools. And I think the shining example the last couple of years has been in Europe, EADS, Astrium. I think they're in over 5 countries. They actually encourage their employees to take half a day or so and go to a school and talk to the kids about space. And last year, hundreds and hundreds of Astrium employees fanned out across France and Spain and UK and elsewhere and spoke to schools. So that's a great example of one way organizations use World Space Week to inspire their future labor force and at the same time educate their parents, of course, because the kids come home with exciting tales to tell. And the other category is just teachers who feel they have some a little bit of freedom and just like they might use Earth Day to teach things about the environment and the Earth. Many teachers use World Space Week to not just teach space, but use space to teach math, science, and other things.
Do you know if in the United States any of the aerospace companies send their people to the schools? Does that work for our country?
We've taken the EADS Astrium
model
and trying to educate some of the larger organizations in the United States about it. I haven't heard that they're doing it yet.
Interesting. I'd like to see that happen. That would be a terrific thing.
It's good for community relations. I mean, for the organization to kind of show that they're really, really inspiring kids. And so it's kind of win-win.
So this is from your first question is Bob in Dallas, Texas. And he said, if there is still time to add an event to the calendar, how does one do that if one wants to create an event?
It's pretty simple. You just go in and if you're a first time, I think it prompts you, it sets you up to be a registered user with a, user ID and password. And then you can enter events. And we just ask that they begin or end during World Space Week. So if they're, one day, that they fall in that week, or if they're you're beginning a multi-week program, you can launch it during World Space Week. That's really the only rule. It's just kind of it has to synchronize with those dates. And then after the event is over, we ask people just to go back and indicate what kind of attendance and media coverage, and tell us a few words about how well it went.
So events can still be added and still planned.
Oh, yes. Yes, as I say, many, even though we ask people to please, enter their event before the event. You know, some people don't get around till to afterward. And of course, we're happy that comes in, you know, for our final reporting. But the whole idea of synchronization of all of this great space outreach is that, you know, it's synergistic. You know, 1 + 1 = 3, because by synchronizing, we're amplifying the messages and through the media. And so the more folks who can enter their World Space Week events, you know, before it starts, you know, just the better when the media, you know, goes and looks. But it's not too late. Please, you know, please enter them.
I'm sorry to say I don't see one in San Francisco, California.
Well, you know, an event, in my humble opinion, an event requires two people or more. So, you know, David, if you have a friend there, maybe you could organize one.
No, but what I'm thinking of doing for next year, because it would need to be promoted and set up, would be a World Space Week space show during the day where hopefully students could come and broadcast on air what they think about space.
And have
a panel of maybe, you know, I can get some people from Ames and Loral to come in and, you know, staff it during the day and talk to school kids about space and have it go out on as a space show program. And maybe Ames or somebody will let me use their studio.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. In fact, Loral used to, you know, do a lot of support and sending materials to classrooms during World
Space. Or maybe SETI. SETI also has a studio, so they might be willing to let me borrow it for some event like that.
That's awesome. Great idea.
I'll make a note to do that. How cool. So, listeners, if you still want to add an event, it's not too late to do it. And World Space Week goes through the end of this week, correct?
Right, through the 10th.
Through the 10th. Fascinating. Really is. So, in terms of, you're still a volunteer president, right?
Yes.
And so most everybody with the program is volunteer, I take it, correct?
Yeah, although this past year we were fortunate enough to hire a part-time executive director, Talia Page, and so she's been a great help to me and really been wonderful and inspiring our volunteers around the world to help us. But generally, we are a volunteer organization.
This is from Alice in Denver, Colorado, one of the cities that we get a lot of listeners from. What did it take to get World Space Week to be sponsored by the United Nations? What was that process?
Well, you know, I'm complimented by the question, but I had absolutely nothing to do with it. We had started, we had helped start an event called Space Week back in the 80s that was the centered around the anniversary of Apollo 11. Many of your listeners may remember that. It was July 16th to 24th, and it grew fairly well. But it was in the middle of the summer. We're missing the kids, and so we knew that really to reach its full potential, we'd have to get away from that anniversary. But in the meantime, at Unispace 3, which is a big conference the United Nations held in 1999 of many, many nations, the nations assembled said we need some kind of an event like this. And so they independently came up with the idea for World Space Week on different dates than the American Space Week. And so the General Assembly then followed their recommendation and made that an official UN event, and we then joined forces with the UN and have been there, worked with them very closely ever since.
Does the UN help create and get behind, programs and events, or is it just sort of an umbrella sponsoring organization for credibility and things like that? You said it was all individual and separate organizations. There's no UN event planned, right? Or am I still not understanding it?
Well, actually, the UN plays all of the roles you just mentioned. I mean, they provide an incredible amount of credibility for World Space Week. I mean, it's been declared by the highest authority in the world. And I must say, the United States and the Russian Federation, all the nations at Unispace 3, negotiated these dates, and so it really has as much buy-in as I think is possible, at least on this planet. Then we work with them. I mean, I met with the director, Dr. Maslin Osman, last week, and coordinating the theme for next year, and she had some specific program ideas for World Space Week 2011, which will be the 50th anniversary of human spaceflight. And so they're involved in all kinds of ways, and in many cases they will hold events, either in Vienna, where her office is based, or elsewhere.
You have this question from Joe in also Denver, Colorado. And you guys really should pick up the phone and use the phone, 1-866-687-7223. And Joe's question is, if maybe you have students listening, David, or people that are participants in events, I would certainly like to hear from listeners who might be listening, if they would either email or call in and tell us about their events and what they do to actually celebrate World Space Week. But even more important to my way of thinking, I'd like to know why they want to celebrate World Space Week. So see if you can get your listeners to tell us what they're planning, what they're doing, and why they're doing it during the show with your guest tonight. So, okay,
that's a great idea.
We put that out there. Listeners, if you want to do that, you know how to reach us. The toll-free number, again, I'll keep giving it out, 866-687-7223. Do you appeal, not you yourself, I know you appeal to everybody, but does World Space Week appeal to like a targeted niche age group or something like that? I'm thinking of loosely comparing it, say, to Yuri's Night, which is probably not fair to do. Or are you really broad across all spectrums, all interests, all ages, all genres, that type of thing?
It's clearly the latter. I mean, we pretty much are a catalyst and encourage the space community and the education sectors and other sectors of society to celebrate space, use space, you know, promote themselves and, you know, and their policy views and so on. And so it, you know, the result is really across society. You know, again, education, you know, schools at all levels participate, informal, you know, education events at planetariums and so on, and, you know, adult events and even government events, for example, particularly in developing nations, there are you know, like educational events for government leaders to talk about how they can use space for sustainable development and things of that sort. You know, ministers and everything. So we see it all.
Here's another question, and actually this is Carla in San Francisco. And Carla says, many technologies, and David, you talk about this all the time on the show because of your experience at the University of California San Francisco Medical Center, use space in the application of how they deliver their goods and services. UCF, for example, with medicine, telemedicine, etc. Yet I've never come across anyone here or anybody thinking about doing a program that focuses on the space resources that they use. World Space Week would be a great venue for doing that, for having a type of UCSF program. I'm wondering if Dennis knows if any other special technology fields separate from space focus in on their use of space during World Space Week.
I don't know. It's a great idea.
I guess we'd have to go through the list of events and see if anything shows up, right?
Yeah, dig through the calendar. Yeah, I'm sure it's happening.
But, you know, it's not a bad idea. I ought to get, you know, the people I know at UCSF to think about that. I bet they could find people that would come in, you know, and do a program one afternoon or something like that during World Space Week to show and demonstrate flagship technologies that an institution like UCSF or Stanford probably uses for and taps into space, where space is just a tool to be used, just like electricity, rather than focusing and being all jazzed at its space. I think that'd be a really cool program to do. Look at all the possibilities that are out there for people to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. We love to hear these kind of ideas, and and hope through your program it will encourage some folks to, you know, to do that kind of thing every year during this global celebration.
So I'm looking at your website, and you know, we've just had a couple of suggestions from listeners, but I'm looking to see if there is like a place on your website, like a blog or something, where we could post ideas that, even if it can't be done this year, could be considered for future years of World Space Week. Do you have like an idea suggestion box page?
Now, that's a good idea. We do. Right now we have a Facebook group and a Twitter group, and we're doing a website upgrade, so I'm sure we'll
put a suggestion box on it. That'd be pretty cool. That's better.
Yeah,
a lot of people,
I like that.
I know a lot of people who refuse to use Twitter or Facebook, specifically Facebook,
okay,
for all of the reasons, you know, why they don't want to do it. So that might be a good idea, you know, suggestions for your events. Yeah. Absolutely. So you're at NASA. World Space Week, pretty well thought of within the hallowed grounds of NASA. That get a lot of support, a lot of attention.
It's funny. Last year, I was driving in to work and saw World Space Week flashing on the sign of the Johnson Space Center. Of course, I had to get out and take a picture with my iPhone. And, you know, there's that email from Charlie Bolden last year to all NASA employees, and, you know, on the occasion of World Space Week. And so it was kind of nice, nice to see that. And, you know, every year, you know, the level of participation is different. But we're seeing, as I said, support increase. So that's great.
Absolutely. I'm also looking on your website, and you have you do have feedback there, but you have a section for students, and you have an education, but you don't really have a section for teachers yet, do you?
The education section has a lot of teacher guides that
you can download.
Although they can use around the year, we encourage them to use them, especially during World Space Week.
Do you know when World Space Week is going to be? It's always October 4th through the 10th.
Yeah, always October 4th to 10th. And, you know, the short version is, you know, October 4th is the anniversary of Sputnik, and October 10th is the anniversary. You know, I always joke, it's one that you really need to be a space lawyer to truly appreciate, and that's when the first outer space treaty went into effect. And it conveniently makes a nice one.
So that's when the Granddaddy Treaty went into effect, October 10th.
I don't know if you call it the Granddaddy Treaty.
Well, that's the main outer space treaty. It's
okay.
You know, the granddaddy of all the space treaties.
Well, okay, good point.
You know the one that most countries have signed on to, and the governing one for most everything that we do in space, and probably the most often cited, respected, and criticized, right? A little bit of everything to attract for everybody. So that's why it's the 4th and the 10th. Interesting. I did not, I wasn't aware of that significance. Dennis, we're coming up on our first break for our segments. So we're going to take our first break right now, and listeners will be off air for about 2.5 minutes. And then we will come back with more information, more of your questions, more of your comments for World Space Week and Dennis Stone. Don't go any place. 2 minutes to 2.5 minutes.
The Space Show thanks its listeners for their generous support. The Space Show now joins forces with the One Giant Leap Foundation to further advance space education and the establishment of a spacefaring society and culture in America and the world. One Giant Leap Foundation is a tax-exempt organization with the purpose of advancing space education and development along with The Space Show. Your support of The Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation helps get the word out as to why space is so essential and important to us all. So join with us by going to www.thespaceshow.com and clicking on the Support The Space Show button. Your contribution will help The Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation in continuing its work and bringing you the programming you want free of charge on a continued basis. And remember, your gift to The Space Show is tax deductible.
The mission of The Space Show is to promote future economic opportunities scientific discoveries, and medical advances for all humankind through peaceful and cooperative ventures in outer space. The Space Show intends to be the forum by which space exploration becomes an integral part of our culture, our economy, our country, our world, and our global vision, in which all nations unite in creating a thriving future through the enormous potentials afforded by off-Earth opportunities. The Space Show is committed to advancing integrity and responsibility, both in our off-Earth conduct and in the potential long-range consequences of our actions in space. The Space Show wants to make the dreams of space today the realities of tomorrow.
And welcome back, everybody. We're talking today about World Space Week, which is October 4th through the 10th. Our guest is Dennis Stone. We're also on their website, www.worldspaceweek.org. On their homepage, you can sign up for newsletter alerts. It's right in the middle of the page. You can't really miss it. It's called Join the World Space Week mailing list. And there is also information on how you can volunteer and offer to help. But Dennis, just to sort of summarize, how does someone get involved with volunteering or helping for World Space Week? And what's the lead time? Do they want to like start 2 weeks before October 4th or 6 months before October 4th?
Well, it's funny. People say, you know, you must be busy, you know, during World Space Week. And I say, no, that's the week we rest. We work the other 51 weeks of the year. And it's only a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I mean, because our role is to institutionalize the celebration of World Space Week in other organizations across society and around the world. And that's something we do year-round, contacting teachers and contacting, you know, space organizations and members of space organizations, et cetera. And we're always branching out and trying to, you know, bring new folks into the fold, even in the arts and et cetera. So our volunteers work year round in doing that. So we're open anytime for folks who want to, you know, raise their hand and join the largest space event on Earth.
I have a listener in Australia. And I count 5 events across the country of Australia. So it's a pretty active space state, or space nation, I should say. So a lot of opportunity to get involved. Oh, through the Rotary Club of North Melbourne. So a Rotary Club gets involved in this as well.
Yeah, Powerhouse Museum in Sydney hold events.
Interesting.
Yeah.
For doing your work with, say, COTS and all of this, do you keep World Space Week separate from Orbital, from SpaceX, or do you use the World Space Week platform to get support from the aerospace companies that you work with through your other positions? So I'm just asking for a clarification here.
No. I would be doing this broadcast from my jail cell if I
did. Walt Anderson has done broadcasts from jail cells.
Has he? Well, I'm
absolutely
with
there.
All due respect to Walt, I just don't treat him as a role model. But no, I have a full time job at NASA and a part time volunteer job with the World Space Week Association, and I keep them as completely distinct and separate as possible.
So never the two shall meet, so they say.
Right.
Okay. You want to take a question on your NASA position?
Oh, sure. So
Trent in Australia did send in a note and ask you about SpaceX saying they could do commercial crew within a couple of years from when their contract starts and about $300 million. Why does NASA consider that to be too expensive?
Well, let's go back in history just a little bit. In the very first COTS competition, SpaceX was selected. They bid against all the capabilities, the cargo capabilities and the crew capability. And NASA and SpaceX agreed on a Space Act agreement. However, the crew part was an option. And, you know, I don't remember the exact amount. It was about $300 million or so. But we at NASA, again, I'm putting on my NASA hat right now.
Right.
We never received funding to exercise that option. So to this date, it is an unexercised option. But NASA is, beginning, as you've seen from, the president's proposal back in February, and even to the authorization bill that was approved in the last week or so. Finally, we're starting to see some progress and getting support by the administration and Congress for a for commercial crew. And there are some small steps NASA has been taking in that effort.
So basically, a lot of maybe what was talked about is just simply not a funded program. Probably given the state of our economy and what's going on with NASA funding, it's not likely to be funded in the near future either, I would imagine.
Well, let me talk about the small steps, as I mentioned.
Okay.
There's something called the Commercial Crew Development, or CCDEV. The first CCDEV was a $50 million effort. It's going on right now, and there are five partners that are doing some long lead work in technologies and system designs to to mature their ability to work on commercial crew kinds of systems, crew transportation systems. And then last week, as it turns out, NASA put out a notice that we're intending on having a continuation of this, of that CCDEV program, with an additional round of funding, with an announcement to come out on or about October 25th, I believe. So we're making, again, these are small steps. It's not the full commercial crew program because that has not been approved yet.
You have a question going back to World Space Week. Helen in Las Vegas, Nevada says, I'm exploring the World Space Week website as you're doing this show, and lo and behold, I see a link that takes us, and I'm stunned, to the Bangladesh Astronomical Society. I cannot believe that there is an astronomical society in Bangladesh. I'm assuming that if World Space Week can reach out into these types of countries, and there's actually people that have the time, the resources, and the energy to focus on space rather than their problems and some of the other things associated with these countries, this has got to be a big plus. Do you have any information about what goes on with space in Bangladesh or any of the other countries that are similar to this? I'm blown away by learning about the Bangladesh Astronomical Society.
Well, we were blown away too. And in fact, I think it was 2003 when they started. And I think you can even go back into our archives and our website, videos, of thousands and thousands of young people in Bangladesh marching, bare feet on dirt roads, and it looked like a jungle, holding little World Space Week signs and wearing little World Space Week hats. Go figure this one out, and actually we have seen, this is not an anomaly, we have seen across developing nations, nations that don't have big, rich space programs, but they do have other problems, a lot of interest in World Space Week. Like Bangladesh, a lot of these countries see the potential of space to get ahead, to move quickly ahead and solve some developmental problems that they have, whether it's environmental management, land use management, telemedicine, reaching remote villages with medical care via satellite, various things like that. They see some great potential, and so we're just so pleased that countries like Bangladesh celebrate World Space Week to bring attention, to their public and their media and their government leaders of this great potential that space can have, down here on Earth.
Your link actually goes to their website. And these guys started their group in November of 1984. I'm stunned, with the Bangladesh Institute of Distance Education. And then, and everybody associated, at least in the hierarchy, is a doctor or a professor at one of their universities. I mean, I'm really impressed too. I'd like to do a space show with them if their English is good enough.
Have you ever talked
to any of them? Or?
Oh yeah, yes. F.R. Sarkar is the executive secretary of the Bangladesh Astronomical Society, and we were just so stunned and thrilled with what they accomplished. We put him on our board of directors. So I have met him.
Well, if his English is good enough to do a space show program and we can get a decent phone line, I would do that in a heartbeat. So maybe you can put me in touch with him or something, you know, at a point after the show. I would certainly follow that up.
It's so incredible to see this, and I think for those of us in developed countries with our, you know, big space agencies like ESA and NASA and you know, Canadian Space Agency and JAXA and others, I mean, it shows that not only do we have our own national interest that we have to serve, but you know, it also shows what a great service we can do to developing nations. And you know, our administrator of NASA is out and we're talking to developing nations this week on this very topic. So it's important that, and the nice thing is that during World Space Week, you know, we can all kind of hold hands and work on these things together.
What is TurkSat? Is that Turkish Satellite Communication?
Yeah, it's a company in Turkey that is I think manages their satellite-based communications networks.
And they're part of World Space Week as well.
Yeah, they haven't gotten around to enter their events this year, but last year they were really off the scale. I think they must have had 50, 70 events all across Turkey.
Ben in Chicago says, when the UN does get involved with World Space Week, is this out of their Vienna Office for Outer Space Affairs, or does it come through local United Nations? How is their help or their input distributed?
No, it is through the United Nations Office of Outer Space Affairs, or USA, as we call them. As I mentioned, I met with Dr. Maslin Othman, who is the director of USA, last week. Very nice lady, and their office is just space people from around the world, and they're really, you know, our partner in the global coordination of World Space Week. And sometimes, you know, they have other entities in the UN system participate. UNESCO has done things for World Space Week, and sometimes the Secretary General has issued statements, or there might be an event in UN headquarters in New York as well.
So it would seem to me that this is a real bridge-building, unifying effort that would be high priority for the UN as well as, you know, member states, rather than a lot of the kind of stuff that goes on. From your assessment, a lot of room to grow? Are you pretty well developed now within the United Nations? How do you see the ongoing role of World Space Week with the UN? Is there still a great potential for expansion?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we're getting really, really good support from UN USA. And then, you know, they're the secretary for a committee, the Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, or COPUS, and that committee represents, oh, I think, like 60 countries around the world, and so, you know, we get a great deal of support from them, but there's always room for more. You know, there's always room for more. I guess my dream is, you know, that this becomes the scale of Earth Day, if you will. You know, that, you know, space needs its Earth Day, and that's why I think World Space Week can be. But I think we can be much, much larger with everyone's participation.
Any way to put in context for listeners, given that we're not visual here, we're radio, audio only, can you compare the size of World Space Week to Earth Day? For example, I know Earth Day is, you know, real famous, and, you know, far more people probably know about it than, you know, Space Week, but is there any way to compare the two in size so we have an idea of what you're talking about?
Yeah, I don't have too much data on Earth Day, but, I mean, I remember growing up and, you know, seeing the scale of it. And the thing that struck me was, you know, environmental groups might not always agree on matters of policy and so on, and that's okay. But on that day, they all came together, promoted their common ground. And the result was the, you know, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the, you know, it really, at least in the United States, forever changed the priority given to protecting the Earth. And so it you know, it's a great model to follow of a media event. Again, what I call the power of synchronization. And so I think, you know, we, the space community, can achieve that easily if we all, you know, follow that same model and do as much as we can during World Space Week and reach, you know, and reach the public through the media and government leaders and kids.
So, you know, people really need to take responsibility to help promote this and get the message out and to connect the dots for people, because it's, I think it's a lot easier for media to connect the dots with why Earth Day is so important, but probably not as easy because they don't always have a space consciousness and awareness. So we have our work cut out for us.
Right, and you know, people can have a small event. You know, they can, you know, show a space film. They can say, get out their telescope or you know, help some kids build some model rockets. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything very big. And members of different groups, you know, like the Planetary Society and others, can set up a table somewhere and, you know, promote their views. But the important thing is do something, put it in the calendar, and tell your media, you know, and you'll be amazed, particularly if there are kids involved and, you know, particularly the kids launching model rockets. You got all the visual elements right there. It's great for TV coverage. And you'd be amazed at how many local stations might come out and cover something like that. It's so interesting and fun and different.
One can hope, that's for sure, and plan for it. Does World Space Week, I mean, do events capitalize on the timing of World Space Week to promote something like space solar power, for example, or constellation or commercial space or something like that? Is it about promoting an agenda through an event, or you don't really like that kind of an approach, or you're totally neutral on a group that wants to do that?
We are completely neutral. You know, World Space Week is simply 7 days in October, and in a common kind of brand, the name World Space Week and the logo that groups are free to use if they're a participant. And what groups and individuals do with that week is completely under their control, and that we think that's very powerful. And so groups can promote any agenda that they wish, as I mentioned a moment ago, any organization they wish, any policies they wish. We even had in the last couple of years some groups that were very active in their opposition to weapons in outer space, and they were, you know, doing, you know, banners at military bases in the U.S. and the U.K. and passing out leaflets as a protest, you know. And we thought about it and said, you know, cool. You know, we don't agree necessarily with everything, but that's not our call. You know, it's a forum that's open to everyone. And so we like to see as much debate. It's really a forum not just celebrating the past. These are anniversaries, but also a debate on what kind of future in space the public and students want to see.
Interesting. So anything goes within decorum and reason, of course, obviously.
You bet.
What kind of future we should have in space? Well, when you have Stephen Hawking talking about we shouldn't communicate with E.T. if they come about, I guess then if somebody picked up on that and wanted to have an event or a protest about not doing that, go for it, if they could get anybody to attend it or anything. So I guess a topic like that would even fly.
World Space Week is an open forum, and it's open to everyone.
Totally cool. I have another NASA question from you, from Joe in Dallas, Texas. And Joe says, I know the policy debate is not yet finished, but it looks like we've gone a long way towards getting some resolution with the House passing the Senate bill. What can you add to this debate in terms of the commercial companies and COTS? Do you see big risk ahead for being able to go to commercial crew? If you were asked to give us the challenges, the top two or three challenges for commercial crew, what do you think they would be?
Well, you know, we're all still, you know, reading the authorization bill. You know, we still don't have an appropriation. We're under a continuing resolution,
right?
Which keeps current programs going. Honestly, I don't want to second guess the Congress. I mean, they're the authorization bill lays out some of the studies that they want NASA to do. People can go read that themselves. I don't need to go over that here. Congress says, well, we might consider this, but NASA, you need to kind of do X, Y, and Z this coming year, and provide some reports and so on. So I don't want to add anything to that. I think the Congress did a great job in coming together, both House and Senate, on this authorization bill, and it identifies what those what those challenges are in terms of that the Congress sees in terms of the work they want NASA to do and the reports that they want us to submit before a commercial crew program might get a go ahead.
Do you a lot of people think that the fighting, the disagreement, all of this has been really very, very different. But is this kind of just the way things get done in the civil space program from year to year? I mean, obviously, one year may be a little bit more intense in this area or that area. Has this year really been that dramatically different than earlier years?
Well, I mean, I think this certainly has been more intense a debate, than I recall ever seeing.
A much-needed debate, I might add. The fact that it was so inclusive of people in the general public, I think that was a good thing. And as I said, it's a much-needed debate. I hope it still continues. Do you think that a lot of people at NASA see it that way? Do they want input from the general public? Like it certainly has been having in the media, the blogs, radio shows, TV. I mean, the public has really gotten energized in this debate.
Well, I mean, and that's really, really good. Again, I'm putting on my NASA hat now.
Right.
It's clear which hat I'm wearing. NASA serves the public, right? And they're the customer. And so I think I can't speak for everyone at NASA, but I truly believe we are very, very committed to hearing from the public, always open to get public input. It's their space program.
Harry in Boston says, you mentioned that we can use the World Space Week logo or artwork on the website. How do we go about doing that? Is there a special website page for that, or do we contact somebody?
Just go to our homepage, and I think you just click on logo. It's worldspaceweek.org/logo. And you can download it in a number of different formats. And it's primarily for organizations that are holding an event, so they can use the logo in any kind of printed or electronic program materials and media materials. And that way, when folks look at World Space Week around the globe, and they see that common name and common dates and common logo, they see a level of, a level of scale that is very powerful. Again, so we encourage folks to use it.
People go, if you are going to do an event, then make sure you take advantage of this as well. Excuse me. Schools, I'm thinking more or less about schools. Have you found that your material is mostly age appropriate to what grade, or is there an age appropriateness of different material for different grades that you can help us sort that out?
Well, space, there are two things that excite kids, particularly the younger ones. Space Week Association on our website, we have a number of teacher guides, including some supported by the Heinlein Prize Trust. Like theirs is more middle school, and then we have a more generic World Space Week guide, teacher guide that's just, generic kind of K through 12 activities. But we don't claim to have the monopoly at all on great space education materials. I mean, the teachers who have time to do a little digging really should go to, you know, NASA and ESA and some of the other space agencies, as well as some of the bigger aerospace companies that have education websites, and you'll find a wealth of material at all levels that can use space to inspire kids on not only on science and technology and engineering and math, but other subjects as well. I mean, space is a great tool. Even in our Heinlein guide, it teaches science and language arts. So we've seen teachers use space to teach spelling and history. So it's a great motivator for teachers.
I saw the Heinlein guide on the website. What exactly is that? How do they use it to teach non-space things?
Well, Robert Heinlein, of course, the great science fiction author, wrote a book called Have Spacesuit Will Travel. And it was a book about a youngster, and he wrote it for a young audience. And so the Heinlein Prize Trust said this would be a perfect thing to push out into the schools. And so the guide, we encourage students to read the whole book, but if they can't get it, the guide actually includes excerpts and then activities that they do based on what they read that are interdisciplinary and cover both the science of this story and through reading its exercises in language arts.
So you can download this for free in multiple languages.
Sure. Absolutely.
Amazing. People, you should go do it and bring it into your kids' classroom.
Pass it out to teachers. Betcha.
Say what with the teachers?
Pass it out, to teachers.
Well, I bet most of them don't know who Robert Heinlein was.
Yeah, and again, the Heinlein guides for, kind of the middle school grades, 6, 7, 8. And then we have a World Space Week teacher guide that covers a wider range of students.
Everybody stay right where you are. We're going to take our next break, and we'll be back with our final segment for tonight's program about World Space Week and more. Don't go anyplace.
The Space Show thanks its listeners for their generous support. The Space Show now joins forces with the One Giant Leap Foundation to further advance space education and the establishment of a spacefaring society and culture in America and the world. One Giant Leap Foundation is a tax-exempt organization with the purpose of advancing space education and development along with the Space Show. Your support of the Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation helps get the word out as to why space is so essential and important to us all. So join with us by going to www.thespaceshow.com and clicking on the Support the Space Show button. Your contribution will help the Space Show and One Giant Leap Foundation in continuing its work and bringing you the programming you want free of charge on a continued basis. And remember, your gift to the Space Show is tax deductible.
I'm Dr. David Livingston, creator and host of the Space Show, and I would like to share my vision with you for not only this radio program, but for space development. Space should be like any other place we choose to visit, work in, or call our home. It should be just another destination, like Tahiti, Hawaii, or any place available to us right now on Earth. When this vision becomes reality, we will be spacefaring in our culture, our economy, our society, and in our lives. Our world will be vastly improved by countless space-related benefits, transforming our lives both in space and right here on Earth. And the Space Show is helping to make this vision a global reality. And welcome back, everybody. We're talking about World Space Week with Dennis Stone. Visit worldspaceweek.org. And Dennis, as we were talking during the break, for those of you who have kids in grade school, middle school, and maybe some of you listening that are high school students, there is a teacher's guide There is a global edition that you can download in English. You can download the European Space Agency edition. Take it in to your teacher, to your class, and see if you can get it some airtime or class time, you know, this week before the 10th. The website for this is worldspaceweek.org/teacheractivityguide.html. You won't have any problem finding it. But there's a lot of tools here that you can use in your hand to go before your teacher or your school or whatever and say, how about giving us 15 or 20 minutes this week to talk about our connection to space or something like that. And given my experience when my kids were in school, I can tell you going in with something in your hand like this teacher guide is better than going in with nothing in your hand. Any comments on any of this, Dennis?
That's a good point. And we knew that teachers are very, very busy, and they don't have time often to go dig up materials, even if they wanted to participate. And so this guide was just intended to be some things they could do very quickly with virtually no preparation. For example, students can design a creature that has to live on a hypothetical planet, and we kind of specify the atmosphere and the chemical environment, and it's fun to see what the kids come up with. Another is to invent a sport or game that can only be played in zero gravity, which of course is a physics lesson, but you know the kids think they're designing a game, right? So these are simple things that that teachers can do in their classroom if they you know can allocate an hour or something that week.
Yeah, and you know people do the work for the teacher so that the teacher doesn't have to invest a lot of time in making this happen to bring it to the classroom. So tell the teacher, I'll download this for your entire class. How many copies do you need? For example, the global edition in English as a Word document is only 730K, and the PDF version is 556K. So you could easily download this for most average-sized classes if you're really committed and you want to do this, and tell them you'll bring them in stapled together for the aides and the students in the class, so they'll have something to take it home. Do the work for the teacher. Make it easy for the teacher to get it in the program. And ask for 15 or 20 minutes and then go overtime. You know, don't ask for an hour because you won't get an hour, but you might get 15 minutes and then be able to drag it out to 30 minutes.
Right, and just like EADS Astrium does, and, you know, it's great to offer if your listeners are have some knowledge about space to offer to come talk to a classroom or two. That's something that the kids really, really appreciate.
Here's a question for you from Trent again in Australia about the United Nations again. He says, with your experience with the United Nations, do you think that international cooperation in space may one day become far more official and dominant than what we have now, perhaps even with a world space agency that might be developed?
Well, there's a lot of cooperation that goes on today. In fact, you know, one of NASA's biggest programs is the International Space Station program, which we are partnered with Russia and the European Space Agency and Canada and Japan, and so a lot of what we do in space today is a partnership. There's a great effort underway to explore a global exploration strategy, and again, NASA is a proud partner of that effort. So our administrator is visiting the Middle East this week. I mean, space is really important, and countries around the world really like working with other countries. Sometimes it's at a bilateral basis, and sometimes it's at a multilateral basis. For everybody to agree on everything might be kind of difficult. So I personally don't see a world space agency taking over anytime in the future, but again, look at the COPUS, the Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space. I mean, every major spacefaring nation is represented there, and that's a great forum where issues that cut across, you know, national lines as space related can be, you know, debated. So there are a lot of great ways that countries today, you know, can work with others in space. Of course, then there's World Space Week.
I can say that over the years, I've seen the increased cooperation, not necessarily through the UN, but partially through the UN, on space debris mitigation issues, for example, really take hold. 5 years ago doing this show, I'd hardly get any interest on debris mitigation, and now I could do programs one a week with conferences, symposium, international law schools getting involved, organizations over and beyond just what Rusty does with his work. I mean, you know, it used to be, Rusty with near-earth object stuff and one or two others was all I ever heard on mitigation and these issues, and not anymore. So they're truly growing in international awareness, attention, and support, for sure, and that involves the UN as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is through the United Nations Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space. You know, our board often meets during the Scientific and Technical Subcommittee. They also have a Legal Subcommittee. And the Scientific and Technical Subcommittee is exploring every issue you just mentioned and others, like coordinating national space assets for the purpose of responding to a disaster like the Asian tsunami. UN COPUS and UN USA are very active in all these things, and I think that has made, you know, governments and the public around the world more aware of these issues.
Jack in Virginia sent, he never calls the phone. Jack, you really need to call.
Yeah, Jack.
But Jack likes to use email no matter what. Anyway, in the spirit of World Space Week, and from your global perspective, what future do you envision over the next quarter of a century in international cooperation in the development of space? For example, what are the prospects for cooperation with China and India in space? Do you see more international launch cooperation like that of the Taurus 2? So I guess he wants your 25-year forecast magic 8-ball preview of what's ahead for cooperation in space in the spirit of World Space Week.
Wow, that's you know, if I could if I knew what would happen in the future like that, I probably would be a richer man. Let me put it this way. I don't think I want to venture, you know, specifics. The International Space Station is just an incredible asset that is so many countries have worked so well on, and now assembly is virtually complete and the utilization is beginning. So I certainly see a lot of great, you know, work, some national, some international, in utilizing this incredible microgravity research laboratory that we've been working on for so long. I think exploration, I think all of the spacefaring nations want to explore, and many of them want to explore together. So I think that's ripe for international cooperation. And then there's a lot of great work going on in coordinating these other things I talked about that bring the benefits of space, you know, right back to Earth, particularly in sustainable development for developing nations and coordination of outreach and inspiring kids like we do during World Space Week. A lot of that's very international. So I wish I could predict what you know, the longer term would be, but I think international cooperation certainly can provide a great leveraging force in enabling big things, great dreams to come true.
Jack, I'm going to turn the tables on you. In the spirit of World Space Week and from your global perspective, what do you see over the next 25 years? Call us or email us in your view, and let's see what you think lies ahead for us. I know you're big on China. Give us your perspective, okay? And, hopefully you will do that. Here's another question, is from June, and June is in Austin, Texas. We're getting a lot of Texas people tonight. And June says, my kid's school in Austin has had a lot of space programming this week and before because of the space policy debate that has been going on. I don't really know why, but I take it it's because a couple of teachers really have an interest in the space program, and they wanted their kids to know about it. My kids is in the fifth grade, and this has been going on in his grade and the grades right around it. The students seem to be very interested in what's going on, but they seem to lose interest the more political the programs became in terms of the political process that Congress gets involved in and what happens with political processes. What really turned them on was the absolute space mission. What are we going to do? Are we going to have this kind of a rocket or that kind of a rocket or why? Those topics were most interesting. The politics part of it were not so interesting. But I think a lot of this depends on whether you have a teacher that is interested enough in space to somehow work it into a jammed curriculum that many schools and many teachers are forced to teach to for their kids. Any comments on this?
Well, you know, how many adults find space politics interesting?
Not very many, or any politics interesting, right?
Well, anyway, I find it interesting, but I know you do too. But no, seriously, kids—they just want to get to the bottom line. You know, they want to see us move toward achieving their dreams in space. You know, and not that most adults don't agree. So, I think they want to get to the plan. What are we going to do next?
Do you have any events in Houston that you're attending?
No. See, I'm taking the week off.
You're taking a week off? Oh, my God.
Yeah. No.
I shouldn't have asked you that one then. Are there events in Houston that you're aware of?
Yeah, none have been reported into the calendar this year. I know of people who are planning things, but I just don't think they've been reported yet.
Well, they need to get to it. What the 10th is this weekend, right?
That would be good. And of course, you know, we welcome reports after it's over. We draft a report to the United Nations, and it looks back at the whole year. And and again, the media, you know, as they poke around and try to see how widely people support space, I think it's really, really important that we, you know, document what happened during World Space Week. And so we try to track audience size, attendance, and media coverage. It's really important to show that. In fact, I just delivered a paper last week on the last 3 years of World Space Week, and thanks to the many organizations that reported their results, we were able to show that in the last 3 years, we had 82 countries that participated in attendance of nearly 1 million people and nearly 200 million who saw the media coverage. So it's really important that folks turn that kind of data in if they have it, because it just helps show how widely people support space.
Todd in San Diego says, I too am exploring the website as we're talking and listening to this program. I do notice that you accept photos from event, although the last photos were uploaded in 2008. I would like to urge people who follow David's suggestion and get this into their classroom to take a camera and get some pictures of the kids and the classroom and the presentation, of course, with permission from the teachers and the school, so nobody has anything violated or they get PO'd or something like that. But again, take the camera and record it and send the pictures, assuming that you will be putting up current years on the website as well.
Yeah, no, that's just a summary that they noticed. We'll allow people to upload World Space Week photos anytime to a special section on Flickr, and there are instructions in the photo section of our website on how to do that. And we really, we love photos, particularly with the kids, and it just shows how, you know, this the exciting look in their eye speaks more than a million words about the excitement of space and how it inspires them. So, yeah, send those pictures in. That'd be great.
Does the White House ever issue a World Space Week message?
Well, as I say, President Obama hosted a World Space Week. He hosted a star party on the White House lawn, and the White House website acknowledged it was in conjunction with World Space Week and the International Year of Astronomy. But generally, and again, I'm no lawyer, but I think that they need a resolution from Congress generally to for the president to sign anything formally. But he certainly did address the students that attended the World Space Week event last year.
I don't know the rule or the law on that either, but they may need some kind of a resolution, which they usually do, and everybody signs on to it. It's not a big deal if somebody brings it up. So hopefully, that will continue to happen. So
last year, by the way, the Prime Minister of Ukraine congratulated her country's space workers on the occasion of World Space Week. So it's interesting how national leaders are starting to take note of this and are starting to use it.
Well, the other thing that I was going to comment, because I've been going around on different pages as we've been talking as well, and you have the large traditional aerospace industry sponsoring and being involved in support not just of the website but some of the programming. So not only are you reaching individuals and space enthusiasts, but you've got the big aerospace industry involved in this as well.
Yeah, and we really appreciate the support we get from industry, not only in the United States but around the world. We have sponsors internationally, and the sponsorship at the global level helps expand World Space Week to reach its potential and inspiring the workforce of tomorrow and their parents and government leaders. And so, many companies and others, see that, and we really appreciate their support.
This is from Harold, and Harold says, I'm at an Army base in Kansas. And he says, I'm noticing that there's not too much of anything going on that I can tell from a military base. Is there a reason for that, or is it just that people at military bases didn't get involved for whatever reason? Are there any restrictions or anything that you're aware of coming from maybe the military side that would prevent doing some kind of an event on a military base for interested soldiers or sailors or something like that?
Actually, to the contrary, my understanding is that the military, particularly on bases, is always looking for events to, for the families and often participate in events like World Space Week. But I don't have any data on whether there are any bases are doing anything this year.
I do hear from listeners at various military bases here and across the United States as well as outside the country. A lot of them listen to the show in their off time, on archives. I'm going to ask them, but it would seem to me that if they have a group of space-interested people, especially at bases here in the United States where there would be access to families, absolutely put something on. And I'm sure they could get space on a military base. I can't imagine there'd be any rules against it.
No, I don't think so.
That's another idea for your website suggestion box.
Very good.
As we're coming toward the conclusion of today's show, so for World Space Week 2011, can you tell us if anything different is being planned? Will it work in pretty much the same way? What are you doing future-wise for 2011 that you can share with us at this time?
Well, 2011 will be, I think, a really great year because it will be the 50th anniversary of human spaceflight. And so that'll be our theme, and we'll encourage retrospection as well as looking forward about humans in space and everything from government astronauts to space tourists and everyone else. So I think it'll be really exciting, especially for students who you know, think that they will have a chance to go into space in their lifetime, because that is the ultimate in inspiration.
Listeners, you really should, we'll start promoting this earlier, but think about doing an event. Now, will these teacher guidelines, things like the Heinlein guideline, are they available year to year? Do they change?
No, they, you know, we'll translate them into more languages, but no, the academic content is constant. And again, you know, folks don't have to use what's on our website. They're, if you have time, you know, poke around other great resources that are out there.
But again, for people pressed for time, to make this easy,
right,
it's ready-made for them, and it's competent material. So,
and the important thing is, do what you can this week, but regardless, tell teachers and tell, you know, others that World Space Week is October 4th to 10th every year. And let's just make a little note in their planner and, you know, and plan ahead, and maybe they can even do more.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, listeners, start thinking about it now so that we can see more events for 2011, especially if it's the 50th anniversary year. Here's a question from Barbara in Tucson, Arizona. You mentioned the anniversary of human spaceflight. Is there any division in World Space Week events between the science and robotics side of space versus the human spaceflight side of space?
Again, like I say, we welcome everyone to participate, whether they want to promote the, you know, the common ground that we all share, that, you know, space is important, or specific policy views. And again, there are many policy differences. We respect them all and encourage all parties to use World Space Week as a forum to debate our future in space.
Have you ever thought of inviting Earth Day people to do something for World Space Week, to expand or broaden?
You know, in our early years, we did get in touch with some of the Earth Day founders and shared some lessons learned. But, you know, the environmental movement, I think, was inspired tremendously by that Apollo
picture, you know, yeah,
photo from the moon. And so there's always been kind of an affinity between the two movements.
But no real shared events or anything.
Yeah, nothing that strong. I mean, there have been a lot of events that talk about the benefit of space to protecting the Earth's environment. You know, so I'm sure there has been at the local level some grassroots and space agency events like that.
Paul in Indianapolis is probably the last question of the day. Have I missed it, or is there an ISS message that gets beamed back to Earth that we all hear about World Space Week?
Well, we had one last year, and that's, you'll see the photo of the astronauts on our website, and I'm sure we have some links to the actual video. I don't know that that's an annual commitment, but we're pleased to have the message from space last year. Occasionally, World Space Week is celebrated in space.
Yeah, tell them to do it for this year, too.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Just send up an email to them or something, right?
Right.
If people have questions, comments, do they go to you? How do they get in touch with you as they hear this program on archives? Do you give out your email address, or how do you handle that?
Well, we have a kind of a general form that says, I want to help. You can use it if you have a question or if you want to volunteer. And you know, if you want to send a message, you can use admin at worldspaceweek.org. That goes to our office manager, and she'll send it in the right direction. We do need volunteers. It's year-round. If folks want to be part of a larger space event on Earth and help at the global level or national level, you know, raise your hand. Let us know. So you can hold an event, or you can do other things to help help us kind of make this thing bigger.
So if I want to do my radio idea that I mentioned in the first segment, I would get a hold of you guys and start working that ahead of time.
Sure. I'd be happy to help.
I think it'd be a cool idea if we could do it. And you will hear from me on that. Okay, so I want to thank you for coming back on the show and telling us about World Space Week and the 50th anniversary next year. Listeners, it's not too late to start thinking about it now. And October 4th through the 10th, it never changes. And it's an important week, and I think it's going to be important for next year as well, given all that's going on in space and space policy and how we're watching our future unfold. And, Jack, shame on you for not giving us your 25-year vision for how you see international cooperation in space. Dennis, great hearing from you again. I look forward to talking to you or seeing you in the near future, whichever takes place. And listeners, that's it for tonight's Space Show program. Remember, Dr. Lee Valentine is doing a special show with us tomorrow night on the Space Studies Institute conference, which is over Halloween, and it's at NASA Ames. Any concluding comments, Dennis?
Just wanted to thank you, David, and wish all your listeners happy World Space Week.
Okay. Listeners, that's it. We'll be back tomorrow night, Wednesday, for that special Space Studies Institute program. On behalf of Dennis and myself and the Space Show, all of you have a great week. Thanks again for listening.